Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you speak to us in your word. And so we pray now that as we open this psalm and we reflect on what it has to say to our lives, that you would transform us, that you would help us to see more of your beauty and majesty, and that you'd help us to trust you as our Lord and Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember a number of years ago, I was involved in organising a conference when I was back at uni, and just a couple of weeks before the conference was due to happen, the main speaker that we'd lined up, he had to pull out due to illness, and so I had to frantically find someone to fill his place. And immediately I thought of two older guys who were in our congregation, the church I was part of at the time, and their names were Paul and Mac. And these were both highly intelligent people. They were academics in the tertiary world and very gifted communicators. But the thing that convinced me that they were the right guys for the job was I thought they're the kind of people that had great wisdom, wisdom that would be a real benefit to the students that were at this conference. And as I think about Paul and Mac and what was it about their lives that gave them a sense of wisdom, there was two things I think that stand out to me. The first is that they had a deep knowledge of the Bible. They knew the Bible from back to front. They knew what it said about different topics and subjects. They knew how it fitted together in that big story of God's plan of salvation for the world. And they knew how it pointed most of all to Jesus and the salvation that's found in him. But it wasn't just knowledge of the Bible. I think the thing that stood out to me about their wisdom was also they had a rich sense of lived experience of the Bible. They'd applied it to their lives. They'd been in different churches over many years. They'd come across all sorts of different people. They'd done all sorts of different jobs in their lives. They'd both been married for a long time and had children who'd grown up to know Jesus. There was a sense in which in the life that God had for them, they had listened to his word. They'd put it into practice. And that's something of a picture of what wisdom is in the Bible. It's the skill of living well in God's world. The skill of living well in God's world. And I'm sure all of us who have been Christians for a while, we can think of people that we've come across who are like Paul and Mac, men and women of great wisdom. And isn't that the kind of Christian that we all want to be like? A wise man or woman of God, a one who knows and treasures his word, and who loves God and wants to live out that word in everyday life. That's what wisdom looks like. So if we want to be wise, how does that happen? Well, as we saw last week in Psalm 19, verse 7, if you joined us for the online service, there was this great comment that was made in that psalm. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. If we want to move from being a simple person to a wise person, the Bible's answer is that we need to get into the Word. It's the Word of God that is God's instrument of making us wise, of growing us in wisdom. That's his source that we need to go to. And as we turn 100 Psalms on to Psalm 119 this morning, here we have this rich meditation. I don't know how many verses there are, but there's a lot. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. And it's all focused. It's a rich meditation on the Bible, on God's Word. It's an acrostic poem. If you know your Hebrew alphabet, that's how the author has laid it out for us. Each stanza reflects on a different aspect of the Bible. And the section that Heather read for us, really the theme there is the wisdom of God's Word. So I want us to reflect this morning then, what is it that makes the Bible such a rich, such a valuable source of wisdom from God? And I think there's three characteristics here that I want us to see. The first of these characteristics is that it's the Creator's word to us. And we see this from the opening verses of our section. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. The psalmist here is rejoicing in the fact that God's word is timeless. It's forever truth that speaks to us about God's faithfulness. Whatever generation in history we find ourselves in, whatever the particular circumstances that we face, whether it be a global pandemic in 2020, or if we lived 100 years ago, it might have been a world war, or if we were Christians in the time of the New Testament. It might have been this intense season of persecution, which many in our world still experience today. Or whatever our situation, whether we're in plenty or need, God's word is a firm foundation upon which to build our lives. I think one word that I've noticed be thrown around a lot over the past year is the word unprecedented. We've faced situations, circumstances that for many of us we've never experienced in our lives before. And possibly that's different to anything that humanity has faced before. What a comfort then for God's people, for believers to know that his word speaks wisdom, whatever's going to come our way. That just as the psalmist thousands of years ago saw relevance and wisdom in this word, so it speaks to us, believers in Jesus in 2020, facing this new pandemic that we couldn't have imagined. And the reason why the Bible is such a timeless source of eternal truth is it's the word of the creator of the universe. It's the word that brought the world into being. And so you'd expect God's word then to be in sync with the universe. The psalmist tells us that his word stands firm in the heavens. You establish the earth and it endures. And just as the world endures, so in verse 91, your laws endure to this day. What he's saying is that the evidence for us trusting God's word, it's all around us. It's in the fabric of creation. The fact that our world continues to exist from one day through to the next, well, that gives us confidence that God's word will endure in the same way. It's the word of the Creator speaking directly to us. And what a privilege that is, to have God's instruction manual for how to live best in his world. It's the Creator's wisdom for living in his creation. I got a new set of sports headphones this week, ordered them online, and they came along. Never seen these before, never had anything like them before. But of course, the first thing I want to do is open the instruction manual. And within a few minutes, I'd set them up. I can now listen to music when I go to the gym or go for a run. And isn't that how instruction manuals work, right? You go from being simple or ignorant to being wise about how to use that. And it happens because you listen to the person who made it. The manufacturer is the one who has the best instructions for how to use the thing that they've made. And so as Christians, well, we have God's wisdom and we have great confidence, because often it does seem completely out of step with our friends, with the people around us, with our world, but we know we can trust it because it's the word of our Creator for how life in his world works best. And we can think about this around a whole range of different arenas of life that we come across. So you can think about our work. You remember that God designed work. So we can trust his wisdom for why we work and how we work to his glory and of course the need for rest. We weren't just made as machines to work all the time. He's made money and material things, and so we can trust him when he tells us that they're not what life is all about. They're gifts from him that we can use to glorify him and serve others. He made us for relationships with others, and so we can trust his wisdom to pursue peace and love and kindness with the people around us, however challenging that might seem. He designed our bodies and marriage and sexuality, and so we can trust his wisdom that sex is a good gift from him that's best enjoyed in the context of lifelong marriage between a man and a woman. He made us, and for those who have children, he made our children, and he set up the family unit, so we can trust his wisdom about parenting. And you could apply that to a whole range of different situations we find ourselves in. In every one of them, God knows best, and we can trust him. And so the psalmist then delights in how much better it is to build your life on that wisdom rather than any of the other alternatives that are on offer. Look down at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. In our lives, we're surrounded by all sorts of different voices, aren't we? Voices that tell us how the good life looks, the way that you should live. And we see this especially in advertising. It tells us to buy this, to wear this, to upgrade to the latest technology, to follow this trend for your house. Whatever it is, it's speaking to us about behavior, but it's really just a company that wants to make our money. How much better to trust the Creator's wisdom ahead of those commercial voices? We also hear voices from our family and friends, from the media, from entertainment, from the stuff we read. And God's wisdom can come to us in all those places. But as Christians, we want to filter those voices through the prism of God's word. Because it's there that we can be sure what God's will is for our lives. And to be a Christian is actually to trust Jesus as your Lord. It's to say he can call the shots in my life, that his will is what I'll listen to first. And often our world wants to portray God as sort of like an evil tyrant, one who wants to restrict your life and control your freedom, to take away all your fun and joy. But actually, when we've come to know this God, the one who sent his Son to save us, well, we recognize that he's a God who loves us, that he has much better wisdom to offer us than any of these other alternative voices. And the psalmist knows this. If we look down at verses 103 and 104, he recognizes that to believers, God's words are sweeter than honey. And that helps us to gladly reject evil paths, paths that would take us away from God's will. You know, as Christians, we have this confidence that not only is this word the Creator's word to us, but it's also the Savior's word. I love that line in Graham Kendrick's song, "Hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered." The God who made the world, made the world to run in a certain way, is also the God who entered our world to save us. So surely, as his people in Christ, we can trust his wisdom for our lives. And that leads me to the second characteristic this psalmist points us to about God's word, and that is it brings his guidance for all of life. In verse 96 it says, "To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless." Now, what he's saying here is that as we read God's word, there's application for every area of life. Every time we open the Bible, it's an opportunity. An opportunity for us to hear God speak directly to us. An opportunity to discover more of God's wisdom, to find a new area, a new pattern of thinking, a new way to decide what we're going to do with our lives and apply the wisdom that we find there. The commands are boundless in terms of our opportunity to apply them. And that's even true when we come across great times of hardship and suffering. Because this psalmist, remember, as we've read through that, he's not having an easy life. In verse 107, he says, "I've suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word." He speaks about people trying to attack him and threaten his life in verse 109. But his confidence in the midst of those hardships comes from the Bible. "Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I've not strayed from your precepts." I know in times where I go through hardship, I'm often tempted to want to manage things on my own. "Oh yeah, I've got this God, I'll work my way through it." But the psalmist, he gives us a much better example. Those are the times where we need to lean into God, where we need to listen to his wisdom. That's what's going to sustain us through those hard times. He wants to guide us both in good times and in bad. And we see this from this wonderful image we get down in verse 106 there. Maybe you've heard this before. Verse 105 there, sorry. "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." I'm sure we've all experienced a blackout before, a time when the power goes off. And apart from not being able to use any of our appliances, the biggest problem in a blackout is that there's no light, right? You can't see where you're going. And that's a problem because you don't know what obstacles to watch out for. You don't know which way you're supposed to step. There's a great sense of uncertainty, maybe even fear, about what we can do when we're in the dark. And that's a picture of what life is like without God's word. We've got no idea which way to go, no idea what to watch out for, what the best path is. We just can't really see what life is all about. And we see this kind of meaninglessness of the secularism that has so gripped our culture. When you do life apart from God, well, where is my meaning? What am I on this planet to do? People lack a deep sense of purpose. They can't see what life is all about. As Christians, we know this God who loves us so much, he'd send his son to save us. And his word is another expression of his love for us. If he's a God who wants to shine light on our path, he wants to lead us down the path to salvation in Jesus and know what it looks like to follow him, well, all of that is part of his love for us as his people. He wants to help us know what life is about as we follow the wisdom of his word. Lamp for our feet, light for our path. But I want to at this point kind of raise a practical question. Okay, we've seen this morning already from this psalm, God's wisdom is a great thing to have. But how do we actually discover that wisdom in the moment where we need it? Let's say we come across a situation at work or in our family life or in a friendship, a temptation that we're struggling with. How is it that we actually gain God's wisdom when we need it? And I want to suggest a four-step process. Here I'm doing a very, very quick survey of different passages from the scriptures that talk about wisdom. And I think the best place to start when we're coming to wisdom is the wisdom literature. That section of the Old Testament, which the Psalms are a part of, but also there's books like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. And one of the most well-known verses in Proverbs is Proverbs verse 9, verse 10 there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is, when we get to know God as he really is, so this holy God who's creator and at the same time is near to us in Christ, where we relate to him as he really is, where we have a proper reverence for that God, well, that is the beginning of wisdom, having right relationship with him, which is only possible because Jesus makes us right before God. And so the first place to start if we want to gain wisdom is to get to know him better. It's a relational wisdom. In relationship with that creator. And that's the beginning. And then when we come to know him, we'll, of course, we'll realize we can ask him for wisdom. There's a wonderful promise in James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to find it. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Do you hear the promise there? If you ask, God will give it. He delights to generously give wisdom to his people. And we saw that in the psalm. The psalmist recognized that God was his teacher. And he called on God to teach me your ways. So we too should ask God to give us the wisdom we need. And then the next step would be to go to the place God has promised to give us wisdom. I noticed that in that psalm, in verse 97 especially, he speaks about meditating on God's word all day long. I was reflecting on what is the difference between meditating and just reading. I mean, meditation has the idea of actually talking to ourselves, of preaching God's word and applying it to different situations, of reflecting on what it means for us. And it's kind of like the difference between fast food and going to a fancy restaurant for a 10-course degustation, right? The fast food, it just fills your hunger in a moment. It's just what you need to get you through the day. 5 minutes, stop, have some food, and get on with the rest of life. And it's okay to read the Bible like that. God will speak to us whatever situation we're in. But here we're encouraged to do more than that, to actually slow down, to savor all the different flavors in the Bible, to hear God's voice to us, and to meditate, to really deeply reflect, what is it saying to me in this situation? I mentioned growth groups earlier. That's another thing. Another way we can meditate is actually to sit with others and to reflect, to encourage one another. What does this actually have to say to us? And can I say, if we're trying to meditate on God's word as we come across a particular situation in life, a helpful thing to do is to actually think about what does God's word say into that situation. To look at the particular topic that I'm wrestling with, it could be, as I say, my workplace, my relationships, and look at a bunch of passages that actually deal with that issue. And then as the psalmist tells us to, verse 95, ponder your statutes. Verse 97, to meditate all day long. Verse 98, to rejoice that God's commands are always with me. And then fourthly, the fourth step in this process, so we start with the fear of the Lord, we ask him for wisdom, we meditate on his scriptures, and then we need to actually be prepared to do it. Be prepared to obey God's voice, God's word to us. In the book of James, that promise about asking for God's wisdom, it is a conditional promise. He says, when you ask, don't doubt. And the kind of doubting he has in mind here is not doubting if God exists. I think we all have doubts about God from time to time. But it's the kind of doubting that's not quite sure whether I actually want to obey what God says. And he calls that kind of person a double-minded person who's unstable in all their ways. They've got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And they're not sure which kind of wisdom they want to follow. If we want God's wisdom, we need to be prepared to put it into practice. And Jesus himself had that saying in Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. If we want to be like the wise man who builds his house on a rock, we need to not just hear the words of Jesus, but put them into practice as well. All scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3 says, and useful for training, correcting, rebuking, and training us in righteousness to go God's way. And so that's a bit of a kind of quick tour through the Bible on how we can gain God's wisdom, and we can apply that to any kind of situation we find ourselves in. And the third characteristic I want to point us to in this psalm, returning back to Psalm 119, about the scriptures and how they bring us wisdom, is this wonderful picture we get of joy. This picture of joy and blessing that comes to the psalmist as he puts God's word at the center of his life. And it reminds me of another picture in Proverbs. Their wisdom is actually personified. And Lady Wisdom invites all who will come to come to a banquet, to kind of dine out on all the treats that God has for his people. And that's the picture we get of what the psalmist is doing in 119. Why is God's wisdom worth having? Verse 102, I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And when the psalmist is taught by God, when he refuses to depart from that, the word tastes sweet to him. It's like honey. It brings blessing and joy to his life. Because he sees it's a privilege to have the creator of the world teaching us how to live well in his world. Verse 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. O Lord, I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Verse 97. And what I see in this psalmist is his joy in the word comes from a sense of commitment to put it at the center of his life. Often it's not easy to read the Bible. Often we struggle to do it. And that's okay. But when we make that commitment, he says in verse 112, my heart is set. In 106, I've taken an oath and confirmed it. When we commit ourselves to listening to God's voice, well, it does bring joy. As Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's both a yoke and a burden, and also light and easy. It brings joy to our hearts when over time we put it at the center of our lives. I want to just remind us as well that as we saw last week, when it speaks here about God's commands and his laws and his statutes, we're not just hearing in that rules. Because if that's all we take away from today, that would be quite depressing, actually. You go away and you think, I've got to put God's rules at the center of my life. I've got to do everything he says. And yes, there is joy in obeying God's commands. But it comes in response to his grace. And so there will be times, every day, every week, where we fail to keep God's laws, where we feel a sense of guilt and shame over our disobedience to him. But as followers of Jesus, followers who've tasted his grace, when we open his word, we find joy for our hearts, not only in the commands, but also in the grace when we fail his commands, knowing that he promises to purify us from all unrighteousness, to forgive our sins, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. So yes, there is joy to be found in living out God's wisdom, but there's joy to be found in hearing his forgiveness when we fail as well. Now, this week we had a meeting of the elders, which we do at the start of each year, where we get together and plan and strategize about the year ahead. And we were reflecting on what we were thinking this time last year and the kind of plans. We actually looked back over our minutes and what did we decide what we were going to do with our church this year? And it was quite humbling because there's a sense in which a lot of the things that we had planned just couldn't come to pass because our year panned out totally opposite to how anyone would have imagined. And I think this past year has taught us how unable we are to control our lives, to know what's happening in the future, to actually manage the day-to-day, let alone run the world, as we often can be tempted to think as human beings we do. But what a comfort as believers to know that when we open God's Word, we have the Creator speaking to us, that He wants to guide us. He wants to bring light to our paths and lamp to our feet, showing us the way to go. And as we commit ourselves to hearing His voice day by day, He Himself promises to bring joy to our hearts as we gain the wisdom that He's promised. So I want to lead us in prayer now that God would give us His wisdom over the course of this year as we commit ourselves to hearing His Word and putting into practice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much for the Lord Jesus, and thank You that He is the great wise teacher, the one who shows us Your wisdom, and that as we hear His voice, we hear the voice of the Creator and the voice of our Saviour. And so we pray this year, Lord, that we would take that wisdom on board, that we put it at the centre of our lives, that we prepare to obey it, that we'd meditate on its meaning as we come across different situations in our lives. And Father, we pray as we do that, as we seek to follow Your voice, that You would bring joy to our hearts. Joy in knowing it's a great privilege to have the Creator's instruction manual, to have a relationship with Him expressed to us in Your Word, and to delight in that day by day. So we pray, Lord, that You would give us Your wisdom as Your people and help us to find joy in Your wisdom this year. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.